Bug. This is the latest findings. It could be the last latest findings ever. You don't be shy.
The latest findings, the last one. Again, it was a rush to just run straight into the studio.
Did you have train troubles or something?
Yeah, it was train troubles. No, it's more computer trouble.
Did you get everything finished?
Yeah, basically. Do you hear me on the?
I hear you fine. I don't know if you don't hear yourself.
Not really. No.
There's so many dials in here. You wouldn't believe it.
It's just like a hospital room or a cockpit, more or less, an airplane.
We're pilots. I'm co-pilot. I do most of the talking.
We have two more co-pilots in the studio, so we're more like crew on board.
We've got Oliver Heinzenberger sitting there talking on his mobile phone.
Yeah, I'm still...
Today's... today's motif, Zeitgeist, is jewelry.
That's
and,
right.
It's a very loose motif, but...
There we go.
Now, We Love You Baltimore is fading into the past, the distant memory. We'll play one more track. The first track that you heard was an Adia remix. It's from it is from an art installation in Montreal. I can't hear anything.
I'm actually going to read a book here, so I'll just be sitting and reading for a while.
Okay.
So I'll see you in half an hour or something.
No, just chill out. I can't hear anything. So we're gonna just keep moving here.
Keep on rolling.
There's some technical. We've got like a mouse in here that's touching all the.
Yeah, it's been chewing on the wires.
Okay, I can hear myself now.
I think the mouse must have bit my wire right now. Because I went deaf.
What's that knocking sound? Sorry, everybody. Okay, we'll give it one more try. Just
thank you.
back again.
Hysteric surroundings. I would just put out the mic outside of the window, and it's insane in the streets, especially down in Münchenstrasse, where we were earlier today
just burning CDs and
having
them.
Some lasagna, and the outdoor it was really insane. this is the May version of the latest findings, and we have written on the flyer that it might be the last latest findings, and then. We got some questions about that, and of course, it's not really the last one, but it might be the last one.
I mean, you heard it. It might be. That's the gossip that's going around.
So it's like you never know. It might be, but it might also be not. So, yeah.
We actually have an article about gossip on that very topic. It's from the Los Angeles Examiner from Sunday, January 23rd, 1938. And Ilya, will you take it away in your Los Angeles accent?
A gossip said George Eliot proves nothing but the bad taste of the gossiper, a truth which errs only on the side of understatement. Gossip can be in bad taste and much more and worse. It can be thoughtless and inconsiderate, and it can also be malicious and cruel, in capital letters, cruel. Innocence can be pilloried by gossip, repentance frustrated. Evil itself compounded beyond all limits of reason or justice. The first and best of the three ancient admonitions against gossip is speak no evil. The other two, as we all remember, are neither hear nor see evil. They make quite a good rule if applied with wisdom. It is not wise, of course, to let silence, blindness, or deafness to evil things constitute a license for evil things. Wickedness, corruption, inhumanities are evils which neither wise, virtuous, nor practical men contend against with silent tongues, deaf ears, or closed eyes. To recognize evil is to be armed with truth, and the courage to tell the truth and hear the truth is essential to triumph over evil. So ancient philosophy very probably intended no license or comfort for evil things or evil doers. More probably it intended admonition against the furtherance of evil through cruel reflection upon atoned deeds or untrue distortion of facts. Gossip is a rolling stone that does gather moss. It grows like a snowball rolling down the hill, like the nose of Pinocchio, who for every lie he told had a bigger nose. As Alexander Pope wrote, "The flying rumors gathered as they rolled, scarce any tale was sooner heard than told. And all who told and added something new, and all who heard it made enlargements too."
You swear it.
A problem?
Yeah,
I got a problem. I run rat fucks like you, okay? I don't like them. The day you wouldn't take a promotion, let me know. And if you'd taken care of this, I wouldn't even be here.
Fuck yourself, you piece of shit.
And I'm gonna need the identity of your undercovers.
Blow me, all right? Not literally, though. Unfortunately, there's no promotion involved for you. Frick.
Hi, Kat.
Look who's here, the prom queen.
Malicious evil. Nearly always the gossiper defends himself with the excuse that he did not start the story. What does it matter where the origin of a cruel deed has been if we are cruel and not merciful or forgiving? In truth, the origin of gossip usually borders on the innocent and vicious. You must know the truth of what you see and hear to know that what you say is true.
Yeah. Well, don't waste time.
So, this is Bill Powers here. I'm here with Jay-Z and Damien Hirst.
Hello. Hello.
So, I got a couple of questions for you. Rock and roll has enjoyed a long-standing affair with contemporary art, but now it seems that hip-hop is taking this relationship a step further. Takeshi Murakami doing Kanye West's last album cover, for example. Now, Jay, becoming an emerging force on the art scene, what do you make of these developments?
The art world really embraced hip-hop early on. It brought graffiti off the street and into people's homes. The new generation of hip-hop performers is really the first with the real wealth. People want to participate, and the taste level has escalated. Before, it was more of a hangout thing, like Madonna hanging out with Basquiat. That's changing.
So, how did contemporary art make its way into your Blue Magic video?
Well, I own the Tim Noble Sue Webster Yes Light sculpture. There's been a whole rocker trend the last 2-3 years in hip-hop, with the skulls and everything, and Damien's work marries nicely to this.
And did you know Jay was going to use some of your spin paintings in his video, Damien?
Larry Gagosian wanted me to do it. He said Jay was a good guy, so I said, yeah, all right. What I like about the video is that it's subtle. They didn't go overboard and load it up with tons of art. There's just two pieces, which keeps it special.
Plus one quick shot of Murakami Buddha head.
I don't know if it's true, Damien, but I heard that you once wrote an English soccer anthem.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
I know you recently did album cover art for The Hours. I was wondering if you aren't a frustrated musician.
I've got a great friend who wrote the really big football anthem, Vindaloo. He rang me up one day and asked me to be in his band. Actually, he didn't ask me to be in it. He just phoned me up and said, now I'm going to ask you a question, but before I do, I want you to say yes. So I said yes. And that's when he sprang it on me. I was now in the band Fat Less. Fat Less, because spelled out, it kind of looks like The Beatles. So I started a record company, we made $1 million on that song, and lost $1 million on the next.
That's the music business for you, huh?
So, both of you guys collect art. Damien, you had a major show of your holdings in London this year.
We're talking about two things here. One is art, the other is buying art, which is completely different. I get excited when I hear Jay-Z loves art, because a lot of people don't. People like Richard Branson just come out and say, I don't like art. I just can't imagine feeling that way.
It's like saying you don't like comedy.
I always thought it was funny that everybody went to art school. The Beatles, the Stones, Malcolm McLaren. But musicians all veer off into their music, and the art is silenced.
It's all part of the same community, even if we're speaking another language. I am most interested in the thought process behind artwork. It's incredible to me. It's like sitting in a studio at a console and listening to a track with nothing on it. The music is playing real loud and you paint words on it. But it's also subjective. Some people are going to say it sucks, and some people just don't like rap. I'm sure Richard Branson doesn't like rap. We have that in common, Damien.
I used to be glad I wasn't in the music business, because it seemed like the people with the most control were the furthest away from the creativity. But I think that because the music industry is so fucked up now, it's probably more exciting than the art world. It's at the point where it has to reinvent itself entirely. Look at Tower Records. It's fucking dead.
It's fucking dead.
In the last issue of Purple, I asked Jeff Koons what motivates him now. And he said that life is the struggle to stay engaged. Our bodies and minds are constantly trying to detach us from the world.
I took loads of drugs and drank a lot and ended up in a state where I wasn't enjoying myself. I used to wake up in the morning and think, I fucking love life. Then that stopped. I thought maybe it was because I was getting older and you just change. But I stopped drinking and got back to the place where I love to get up in the morning. All art and music is childish or childlike. All kids can sing and draw. Only some of them stop and become fucking bank managers. I guess we're the lucky ones. We didn't stop.
I like that. I really, really like that.
Hold back. I keep my shit constant nigga, please don't try to knock. Breaking boys out in the 90 fucking nine. I gotta get mine, cause shit, it's our time to shine. Watch it blind your eyes with these crystals on my teeth. I can be a player, sweep a yellow off a feet. It's that young nigga who be steady breaking face. Yellow bitch of braces. Time to shoot lace. I'm a freestyle king, so I'm raw with my flow. Still a nigga shine back though and take his hoe. Know that boy Tighty be a great Michael Pose. Bought my damn bed and bought a new Testarossa. I'm ice for massages, come a diamond just for crystal clear like the springs of a Zorka. I'ma check hoes and red flows, that's with my jaw. This the coldest nigga on the mic he ever saw. They call that boy Tighty, spell it T-I-T-E. You wanna be me? Cause I'm a real fucking G. Niggas can't touch all the money I be folding. Used to gangsta strut, now I'm gangsta fucking rolling. New Escalade and it's rimmed up and sprayed. Candy fucking coat, 4 G's, I done paid. Got a damn blizzard, motherfucking ring. Freestyle Kings, 99, bling, bitch.
Bling, Hollywood through the door, huh? Bling, I done put some screens on my candy blue bike. I done put a 4 in the 1 liter Sprite. Now I'm fixing to get what throw. Get back on the feeder and what just roll. To the north side of town, there's the boss with the crown. Popped up, living lavish, now I'm at Chocolate Town. Ball till I fall, 3-wheel in the crowd. Them 84s bolted up on U-Haul. Swank up the main, pop my shit on the curb. Let everybody know I got them hoes by the hood. The damn good I could, I got that gas on my dad. Make my feet real thick while I smash that big ass. My time to shine, so I'ma do my damn thing. Moving way up the street to the school, that's too lame. Confused, broke my rules cause I didn't pay my dues. Shout out to Helix in Syracuse. Man! Thought we was huns, yeah. For a mile, baby. I'm from that north side, y'all ain't heard me before. Bling, when I come down, be stepping on the scene. I done came up, best in team, pinky ring. Stepping through your door, swinging my digger lean. Ripping on the microphone, freestyle king. Letting hoes know how we be doing things. Stacking our money, talking about my damn green. Piece of chain, blinding as I'm throwed off the lean. I done shipped the 8 of code, permit the zine. Gone off the drink like a motherfucking fiend. It's that boy, my main man. Mug on me. In my damn car, you'll see 6 screens. Riding down the street, see some yellows for my team. Beating up the block, sitting on 20. I was drug killer, I got plenty. Don't give a damn as you all can't see. Dead 15 lines, dead rhyme with my bling. I'ma come throw, bitch, I'ma come blow. Never been to jail, but I still got swole. Watch my damn fro, boat it down to the flow. I'ma represent Ace time four. Get outside at the damn acres home. Shout out to your haters, leave your mouth to fuck alone. Loud, try to catch me, money, call no guy gone. Hoes, steady calling, turned out my mobile phone. Niggas started static, made me pop a trunk. Had to break them off like a Shaolin monk. Ain't nobody colder than a damn Jamal LeBlanc. I'ma take a break, man, pass me the skull. Man.
God damn, that boy need a 5 sniffers in his bitch. Hold up, when I come around this bitch, hoes need shades when they look at me. Hold up, it's going down. You're rich, 20 inches made me sit up taller. Swangin' foes with Rizzo's on the art from the crawler. Diamond vision feel be twisting when I hit Texas City. Bow leg, yellow bone with pills up and pretty. Bitch looking real pretty, fucking hoe in my jet. 30 inch choppers on the canister bed. The brown as wet. Now that bitch wanna fuck. Went to the barrel hood, sheriff left him stuck like Chuck. Thought with my truck, with 4 wood in the floor. Chopped him up at MacArthur with a drop top tour. Air like to Nord, cause that red's no hoe. Top of getting the shape, doing Tybo. Run the fofo. One field falling the angle. I'ma come through the beat, 5 screen, go stagger. That's look by angle. Poppin' trunk, showing skills.
Somewhat cool.
That was the Freestyle Kings with the screwed bling version of Bling Bling. A couple of weeks ago, we visited the jewelry fair here in Frankfurt, and there's some kind of unknown event, but it started out in New Delhi a few years ago, and now it's the world's largest fair for jewelry and bracelets and so on. And we want to play you a recording we made. We brought all of our equipment to the jewelry fair here in Frankfurt, and it was kind of surprising as the equipment only started to work while on our way out after recording 4 or 5 hours of jewelry material and so on. But as we were trying to find our way to the exit among all its back doors and corridors, and
it was a labyrinth.
It was like a maze, and we very much got lost. And the clip we're going to play now, it's a very short one, but it's from there. Okay, so what do you think the exit is then?
I don't know, maybe down there. What about that door?
Yeah, but I have this whole bag full of things here. It's just all the freebies we got.
There's some nice stuff there. Did you come in with that necklace or?
No, I got it from the Afghani jewelry salesman. So what's that? What's that to the right there?
I don't know, I'm getting a bit confused here.
I really need to visit the bathroom also, so it's going to be good if you find that. There's something over there, like a door or something.
Hey, there's a security guard over there.
Yeah, but let's try to take the left door.
Guy.
It might be the exit one there. What's this then? Oh my god. Shit, there's some kind of stage here or something.
No. The door closed. Hey! Oh my god, we're stuck in here. Okay, well, Ilya, what do you think we should do?
Yeah, just leave this is really embarrassing.
We can't go back, then. Should we, like, throw this stuff away or something?
And move.
Okay, okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, that was weird.
So, the at the jewelry messa, we saw many big stones. People actually, they bring loads of stones with them, and from lapis lazuli to cobalt and emeralds and rubies, to things like plastic, shiny metal, and gold, diamonds. So we actually got samples of all of these wonderful things, and then this little thing happened, and suddenly we were on the stage. It was just it was crazy. Ely was freaking out a bit. He actually got paralyzed.
Now we're liaison to the undercover section. His undercover work is extensive. He's here to give us his report, Sergeant Dick.
Okay. My people are out there. They're like fucking Indians. You're not going to see them, and you're not going to hear about them, except through me or Captain Queenan. You will not ever know the identity of undercover people. Unfortunately, this shithole has more fucking leaks than the Iraqi Navy.
Fuck yourself.
I'm tired from fucking your wife.
How's your mother?
Good, she's tired from fucking my father.
So, it was quite an experience. Ilya has never been to the Mesa before that.
No, it was quite a new experience, I have to say. Though the airport, following the one of the world's diamonds all the way from Uganda towards the Frankfurt airport and through the customs was really something I would never really forget. I think there was a 500, a half kilo diamond, basically, rough diamond from Uganda. It was special.
And they showed us a PowerPoint presentation about the trip that the diamond took. And there was some pretty, there was like some music involved in that presentation and some nice special sound effects and stuff. It was really good, really worthwhile presentation.
But now we're going to play a song by a band called MGMT. I think they're from Australia, but I'm not really sure if they're, it's kind of a neo-hippie style sort of. They have made a video with three-dimensional dolphins coming out of a desert and a fire behind. It's really quite good if you have the chance to see it.
Put it on.
The comfort of my mother and the weight of the world. We are the Invisible Threats.
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 Again, we are the Invisible Threats.
We are the Invisible Threats.
I like silver.
You like gold.
And you wouldn't turn your nose up
at the jewels I hold.
You like things made of platinum.
But you look at platinum.
You wanted a white Porsche.
And ended up with a white stick. Special this white stick poem written by David Robiliard. But Mike, you have found a kind of very fancy magazine here with some
it's an international magazine.
It's a gentleman's style journal.
But there's a very, very good interview in it. I just thought that we could share it. Look at that. There's different types of paper inside, and shiny to rough, color to black and white. You can hear the quality in this magazine.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's even better than mine.
No, you got a crappy little thing. This one is big and nice, and there's tons of color and a lot of beautiful people in this magazine.
It's more of a booklet, really.
Should we read this this little article here, written or printed on a kind of off-white tooth color paper, more like newsprint than glossy magazine type stock. So, how much art did you sell last year?
More than I thought. When I last looked, we sold $1,300,000,000 worth of art, which I can hardly even say as a figure. It's so wild. I just kind of lost track of how much it was, forgetting. I forgot to do $70 million objects or $50 million objects, all that up. I remember when I started my first auction in 1997 in New York, it was $30 million all in. Yeah.
What does that tell us about the world?
I think when I started to work with contemporary art, it was something for a small community of people who didn't really want to belong to the mainstream. And they also considered themselves avant-garde. And something happened around 1999, 2000, when the avant-garde actually didn't really buy contemporary art, but the bourgeois started to buy it. So for the first time since the 1860s, the contemporary artists did not enrage the bourgeois, but actually started to make things for them to buy.
Who was this new bourgeoisie?
Oh, it was a very affluent, financially minded, successful community of people who have made their money based on an economy on an upward surge.
So they floated up like a bunch of twigs with the tide?
They were the ones who made the right decision and got a financial degree instead of an art history degree. And they said, okay, this is what's going on in the world, this is where the economy is going, so I'm going to hold on to something and that something will become very valuable. They did it with their companies and they're doing it with art.
You're on the receiving end at Sotheby's. Can you say, no, we can't sell this? Or I can say, no, we can't sell this, but the minute...
It has a value, and the minute the value is a certain price point, I can't say no. I cannot be a censor, I'm an auctioneer. If you're a curator, you can be selective. I cannot, and I cannot judge either. I can only accept and suspect judgment.
And the value comes from the hand it's been in and how much it costs?
the hands have been in, and yeah, of course also the value comes from people wanting it. When people want something very badly, like Jeff Koons' Hanging Heart, it's $23 million instead of $3 million, bought by somebody who didn't know Koons a year ago.
Well, I certainly enjoy Koons now and then. Cool Koons.
Certainly enjoy a good bechamel sauce now and then too, I'd say.
Certainly. That was Toby Meyer. Not the local Frankfurter, but the man who runs Sotheby's. Jet trails between New York, London, Shanghai. Say hi to Toby Meyer. And I'll close this magazine here. Beautiful thing. All right, now. Will you supply us with another soundtrack, Ilya?
Well, if you were looking at the earlier shows that we did, it was everything between 60s and rap music and a few poems here and there.
And some classical music and independently produced rarities.
But I've got to say that my favorite was the baseball player swearing. Though that must have been half a year ago or something like that. So, if you want to call in, if you want to call us right here in Amsterdam, you can find the phone number on www.radiox.de. And I would like to give some shout-outs to a special person who's probably sitting in a studio somewhere in Amsterdam listening right now. Huh?
Are you there? So, if somebody did want to call Ilya, why don't you tell them the number? I'll tell you the number. It's 069-299-71211. We'd love to get a little chat on before they kick us out of here. Message to that special someone. Can you please try calling again? Thank you.
Colored paper.
We have received a mysterious phone call from a man who said he really enjoyed the show and wanted us to talk about colored paper, which I find, if you rate that from a psychological perspective, it's probably really a wish for, who knows.
Happiness, I'd say. Unfortunately, we had a technical mishap and the phone just shut off. It wasn't anything personal, but personally, paper is one of my favorite topics. I like using it and whenever I can.
Like writing on it?
I like typewriting on it and printing on it. But there's other things about paper that are uncannily useful.
There's a very delicate CD cover which is made in kind of a Christmas red 10th of a millimeter thick paper with a little flap on the backside, and it's connected with plastic on the front side. And
this is used if I just wonder if just by the sound of it, if somebody could guess what it looks like. In fact, it's a CD sleeve.
Wow.
Ilya, you made a drawing recently, didn't you?
Yes.
And what did... Can you tell us about some kind of the aesthetic qualities of this drawing, please?
Not really, but I can tell you about the paper. It was really nice. Nice paper. It was handmade by a couple of Buddhist monks in the north part of Vietnam. And you get this paper only every second year or something. It's very rare, and they actually they make it with their feet, where they stomp the feet during early morning prayers, and then you get hold of this paper only from the same kind of companies that you can buy 50-year-old leather and suede from. There's some stores.
But where are these stores, Ilya?
Well, they don't really have a space or like a
it's more like a warehouse where they stockpile.
It's more like
piles
a warehouse. Yeah. You get like purple suede from the Italian south side from the 1950s to make bags or shoes.
So you just get
drawings.
The sheets. You don't actually get these products that you're listing off.
Yeah, well, you get a fairly big sheet for an amount of money, and then you use it for drawing or watercolor.
Right. I have actually have a friend who went to Thailand specifically to get this special paper, and he ended up buying way too much of it, and then he had to leave it behind, and he got some kids to paint all over it. And some people thought that it was exploitation.
Talking of which, about a year ago or something, I got hold of this Swedish meditative relaxment CDs. And sometimes you stumble upon one of those recorded... you listen to a voice which tells you to relax, and somehow it works around your solar plexus to be listening to this and really give you a relaxed, which would be equal to 10 hours sleep or something, like laying in a floating tank. If you ever had done that, it's a tank where salty water has the same temperature as your body, and it's totally dark, and you lay floating in this tank.
Is it scary? It sounds a bit scary.
It's supposed to be very, very, very relaxing. It sounds something like.
Okay, let's take a listen.
I denna första del i programmet ska du få öva på att andas med hjälp av din mellangärdesmuskel för att på så sätt göra din andning effektivare. Sätt dig i en stol eller fåtölj där du har möjlighet att sitta med rak rygg utan att det känns obekvämt. Om det känns naturligt för dig att blunda under programmets gång så kan du göra det. Räta på ryggen så att det blir lättare för dig att arbeta med mellangärdesmuskeln.
Straighten your back so it will be easier for you.
Spänn försiktigt ut bröstkorgen samtidigt som du försöker vara avslappnad i kroppen.
Expand your chest and try to be relaxed in your body.
Andas nu lugnt och jämnt genom näsan som du normalt gör. Undvik att påverka andningen. Uppmärksamma den bara och låt den sköta sig själv.
Just let it run by itself.
För att undersöka din andning lägger du nu en hand på bröstkorgen och den andra på magen över naveln. Lägg märke till vilken av händerna som rör sig mest när du andas.
Notice which one of
den
your
på
hands
magen
is moving most
eller den
when
på bröstet.
The one on your stomach or on your chest. How is my the stomachs seem to be moving a lot.
Yeah, I ate some kraut, bad kraut.
Du ska nu träna på att andas så effektivt du kan med hjälp av mellangärdet. Handen på magen ska då röra sig mer i förhållande till handen på bröstet. När du andas in så ska mellangärdesmuskeln spännas. Den trycks då nedåt och magen hutar ut. Lungorna får mer plats i bröstkorgen och luften strömmar automatiskt in. Och när du andas ut så ska du helt slappna av mellangärdesmuskeln. Luften först går ut i lungorna av sig självt och din mage plattas ut. Prova att andas med lugna, jämna andetag på detta sätt.
What does that mean? I'm scared.
Keep breathing. Soon you will.
När du andas in, tänk på att mellangärdesmuskeln spänns och din mage puttar ut. Och när du andas ut så slappnar du av muskeln och luften pressas ut.
That's it for perhaps the latest or the last latest findings ever. Thank you very much, and hope you enjoy it.
Hope you feel relaxed.
And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.